So Psalm 130, a song of ascents. And it is a poem, and it uses that Jewish parallels throughout the poem. But also there are parallels that speak into our lives, and I think that's really helpful. So before I begin to speak, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you that you speak through your word. Thank you that you want to speak to our hearts. And we pray now that you'll open your word to our hearts and our hearts to your word. Teach us your ways that we may walk in your truth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And it would help if you would take one of the church Bibles and turn to page 624 so that you can follow. This psalm is going to take us from the depths to the heights. So it really is a song of ascents. We're going to go up as we cry out to the Lord. It also goes from the darkest night to the clear light of day as we wait and watch. And finally, it gives us reasons for hope. It gives us hope and tells us that we can hope in the Lord. So the psalm starts in the depths, depths from which we cannot get out on our own, not by hard work, not by effort or determination, not by doing enough, not by merit, and not by any kind of self-help. So verse 1 and 2 says this: out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. These depths are about iniquities, wrongdoing, and the need for forgiveness. So verse 3 and 4, for instance: if you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. So verse 2, let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. We have no way of dealing with that ourselves. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. We're separated from God and down in a pit. These are the depths and the darknesses we were all in, separated from God, needing his help, crying out to him, or else we stay fixed in the depths. Will he hear our cry? Will he respond? A man fell into a pit. I'm not sure if it was by accident, through weakness, or his own deliberate fault. He tried everything he could to get out, but there was nothing he could do. He tried determined action. He tried to make handholds and footholds, but he couldn't. He was stuck there. He couldn't get out. The Chinese philosopher Confucius happened to walk by and said, there is evidence that men should take warning from this example and watch where they are going and stay out of such places, and walked on by. Buddha walked by saying, this is merely a state of mind and all is illusion. You're not really in a pit. Then an imam walked by and said, alas, it is the will of Allah to which you should submit. Then a Hindu walked by and said, never mind. You will return to earth in another form and in another place. A humanist walked by and said, everything happens by random chance. There's nothing more to life than this, but generation by generation, things are getting better. Finally, Jesus walked by. Seeing the man's need, he got down into the pit, came alongside the man, and helped him out. Well, Jesus said he'd come to seek and to save those who are lost, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Thank God that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, come alongside to help us, to bring us peace with God, to bring God's forgiveness, that forgiveness we hear about in verse 4. With you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Or verse 8. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sin. He is doing it himself at the cost of his life. Jesus dying on the cross, dying in our place, taking our sin upon himself so that we could be forgiven. And the power of God raised him up to new life. God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So we can have confidence that when we cry out, the Lord will hear us. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So verses 1 to 4, the psalmist is crying from the depths for the Lord to help. Moving on then to verses 5 and 6, watching and waiting. The psalmist waits for the Lord, keeping watch. There may be many things about which we are anxious. It may seem that there are times when the Lord's not present, or the situations we're praying about, waiting for an answer, and it's taking a long time. We've been praying about Ukraine and Russia for over a year now. I have a friend who's really concerned about everything that's happening in Yemen, and they've been praying faithfully day by day. We pray over friends. We pray over intractable situations. We pray for justice, for the Lord to act. And how long, O Lord, we say. We pray for what is happening in our own fellowship. We continue to pray for Henry, Kate, and Ali. We pray for a good resolution. But often we are praying, like the psalmist, in the darkness at night because we don't know what is going on. This longing for the Lord and for the Lord to act is what the psalmist is describing in verses 5 and 6. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman waits for the morning. More than the watchman wait for the morning. Keeping watch in the dark of night is hard. It's hard to concentrate. It's hard to keep awake. It's hard not to imagine dreadful things and to wonder what is going on in the dark, not to understand and get it distracted. We had a 12 hours of prayer and people signed up for slots. It's good to do that, but sometimes it's quite difficult, even in just an hour, to wait and to keep watch. In the darkness of night, we may feel alone and vulnerable. Nothing seems to be happening. And there's that subjective thing of time stretching, and it just seems to take ages. The night can seem to go on and on without ending, and it can seem like a solitary duty. But what the Song of Ascents tells us is that we're not alone in keeping watch. The Lord keeps watch over us and watches with us. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day. nor the moon by night. He cares and he watches with us. He watches, and those keeping watch, even during the darkest night, the Lord is with us, longing for the breaking of day. And we know that eventually, until Jesus returns, the dawn will break. Night may seem endless, but morning is certain, and its time determined. But also Psalm 127 reminds us that unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. We need to make sure that when we're praying and for the things we're concerned about, they are in line with God's word. And then we can know that he watches with us. But even so, the Lord is always with us and he loves us. So we cry out and keep watch. But also there is hope. Verse 7, O Israel, put your hope in the Lord. The psalmist mentions Israel in several places in this psalm, and we should take that to mean us, the church and church members. In Ephesians 3, Paul says this, through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. And in 1 Peter, it says this, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So when the psalmist mentions Israel, we can read that as us, as believers. We're the family of God, sharers in the promise in Jesus. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord. And the psalm gives us reasons for that hope, for confidence in the Lord, in his character, the Lord and his power, and the Lord and his love for us. And therefore, we can hope in him. Firstly, in verse 4, with the Lord there is forgiveness, as we've already seen. The Lord is able to forgive. He is willing to forgive, made possible because of the obedience of Jesus, his Son. So in verse 7, Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. Giving and loving, God's unfailing love. He will redeem us. He plucks us out of the depths and sets our feet upon the rock. Secondly, with the Lord there is unfailing love. That's his covenant love, his loving kindness, his grace to us, giving and loving, because that's the nature of God. Not anything that we deserve. The Lord acts in loving ways and for our welfare. Thirdly, verse 5, with the Lord there is the promise of his word. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. God keeps his promises. His covenanted love. We can look through the scripture and find those promises. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And he did this himself. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins, verse 8. So that is why we can cry out to the Lord from the depths, or at home, at work, in the garden, amongst a crowd, or on our own. And as we wait for him, he keeps watch with us and with us. And we can long for him and keep watch with him in confidence and in hope. Now I'd like you to read through the psalm before we sing our final hymn. So please do read through. Let it speak to you. Read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest.